It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, you can probably tell by Brains' voice that we had a bit of a time in Barrie, and we're a little bit out of it today, and we need a list. So at Hayes TSN or at Overdrive or text us, email us, we need a list for our five-pack Friday, and we need it before 5:30.
Really?
So if you have an idea, shoot us a note. We need a list of some sort. Could be any of the sports, could be any
pop culture, real life, anything.
Something to do with a top five for us. We need it by 5:30. And we will give you props on the show.
We'll hook you up.
Top five stripper songs.
Ooh.
That's going to take us like a while, though, to think of.
To wade through here.
Yeah, we got to really think of that. That's one we're going to do in the future. I had a top five embarrassing moment this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Because I bombed out of Barrie. I made a pit stop at a Tim Hortons, and I picked up like a chocolate chip muffin. Those things are tough to eat. Like, well, they if get, you're driving,
they get crummy. Lots of crumbs.
They get crummy.
Crummy.
And they load it up with chocolate chips, which I really support and I like.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm eating that on the way down the 400. And I got home and I made a pit stop right before I got to the house. And I walked into this place to pick up lunch. So I just ate Tim Hortons and now I'm hungry again. I'm like, I'm going in for lunch. I walk in there and this woman who was behind the counter, like, kind of like moved her head back when she saw me and then couldn't look at me in the eye after that and just kind of served me and got me out of there.
You had a big booger in your nose?
No, he had
chocolate all over my face.
He was Costanza.
I got back into the car and I looked in the mirror. I had chocolate everywhere.
You're Ronald McDonald. Like you were Costanza.
Top five embarrassing moments.
Now, what were you doing? Like, were you eating? So you were holding on to the cupcake with the paper, probably, and just jamming the app in it.
Total slob mode, driving, out of control, gluttony.
Yes.
Every sin in the book you could think of. And it was not good. Yeah. It was sloppy, and I walked into a local establishment, and I clearly can never go back because I made a complete fool of myself.
What if she what if she was at Brian Hayes Appreciation Night?
Well, she won't be at the next one. I don't know if there ever will be one again, but I would think this probably changed her whole outlook on Brian Hayes and
knocked,
the Appreciation
Night. Down a peg or two in her book.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. So anyway, Ray's coming up here. Marcellus Wiley. We'll get his take on the Danny Trevathan hit last night on Devontae Adams. Get his take on the Packers at 3-1.
We're getting ideas coming in.
Lots
top
of ideas.
Top five mullets in NHL history.
Ooh.
Do top you five, like it or no
top
like
top five
it?
Burger joints in the GTA?
Mm-hmm. Top five chirps. There's a lot of options. We'll mull these over.
Mullet slash skullets is...
Well, speaking of skullet, Ally Afraidy was there last weekend. You remember that beast?
Where was that?
At the
Road Hockey.
Road Hockey for Cancer.
Ally Afraidy was there?
He was there.
I didn't see Ally Afraidy.
He went Messier up top.
Yeah, he's completely bald.
When did you see him? Was he in the tent?
The celeb
I said hello to
he
him.
Was on
he was
your
in
team.
The celeb game.
No way. Is that right? I wasn't
you
even
were
paying
probably
attention.
Probably on the field with him.
I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't even realize that Ally Afraidy was there.
Because O-Dog was too busy yelling at Zygomanis.
Yeah, you really embarrassed your boy Zygomanis.
I just said you're not a celebrity.
But you yelled it very loud.
Okay,
so everyone
that's the
stopped.
Point of it. It was just all in fun.
I thought it was great.
Out there for charity, making a fool
Zygomanis,
out of a guy.
You're not a celebrity. Take that jersey off.
Yeah, that might have been offside.
Slightly
it was
offside.
Hilarious.
Not quite as offside as you hijacking a cart and driving it around, but it was offside nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right, Ray's coming up here in a moment. Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. Leafs back in action tonight. They're sending the A team to Detroit. They got the new building down there in Detroit.
That'll be a nice building.
They just don't have much of a team. Like, the timing for all of this, like, new era, new building. The longtime owner, Mr. Lidge, passed away, and obviously it feels like a different era. Lidstrom now retired, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yep.
Datsyuk left a year ago. Doesn't feel like Zetterberg's going to be there much longer. It's really, they're turning over a new leaf. I just don't know who's going to take over the mantle.
Right.
And this is really, this is a rarity. I mean, this might be a good list. Like, top five great runs by an organization, because Detroit went to the playoffs every year for, like, what, 26 years or something?
St. Louis Blues were right there, too. And then Chris Pronger went to Edmonton, and they missed the playoffs. I think it was 24 or 26 years in a row that they'd gone to the playoffs. St. Louis Blues, same type of situation.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, there's, I always bug Pronger about this stat. If you look at, Pronger leaves St. Louis, they miss the playoffs the next year. He takes the Oilers to the finals. He leaves, they miss the playoffs. Never made it back to the playoffs till this year. Goes to Anaheim, wins a cup. Leaves to go to Philadelphia. Anaheim misses that the playoffs that year. Goes to Philadelphia, takes him to the final. And then when he gets hurt, they miss the playoffs.
He's like the Duffy of hockey players.
It's crazy.
Whenever Duffy plays golf with you, you score a hole in one.
Yeah, well, he,
when
Pronger
he,
was that
Pronger
good.
Goes to a team, they get very good. When he leaves, yeah, they become hot garbage again. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Ray?
Not much. I was just thinking about that. See, the difference would be that Pronger actually impacted those teams, and James is like a concessionaire.
Yeah, I guess Duffy didn't really do anything. He just happened to be there.
Yeah. He's like an accidental tourist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I did. It was weird. We had him on the other day after O obviously got his hole in one, and I found myself congratulating Duffy for some reason.
Yeah, just for being there?
Yeah, and then I stopped myself.
Up there.
Yeah, I stopped myself, and I'm like, actually, why am I congratulating you? What did you do? You didn't do anything. You just witnessed it.
Yeah, I've played with James a few times. I've never seen a guy that can be so good for about an hour and a half and then look like he's never played the game before.
It's amazing.
It's remarkable.
Isn't it?
He's a mental piece of mushed banana.
Well, it's the psychological hurdle. What is it about nine holes? Like, it's just some, you come around the turn, you treat each individual nine holes totally differently.
Well, it's the time to turn it around. If you, like, Duffy was so gross on the front nine, he's like, I'm gonna turn it around in the back. I'm not really this bad, but that's what people think.
But it's just like a switch, like you. But it does happen sometimes.
Did
a lot
he turn
of times,
it around?
No, it got worse.
The one day we played in Calgary at one of the junior camps, and he was like one over par on the front, and I was just giving it to him. I'm like, I'm giving you shots like crazy. This is a joke. This is a joke. He made eight doubles on the back.
There you go.
I'm like, seriously, did you forget how to play? Like, what happened
it's
here?
The best.
Well, his stat for the day was, in 18 holes, he hit one fairway. One.
You could almost do that by accident, couldn't you?
That's tough to do, isn't it?
No kidding.
That's like, garbage.
At what point do you just pull a wedge out and just say, I have to get on the fairway? Like, I don't care if this goes 60 yards. It's getting on the fairway. I have
Man, that's
to.
A lot of looking for golf balls, I'll tell you.
Oh, no we kidding. Were doing the fake compliments. You know when a guy is sucking really bad, you're like, come on, work out for the guy. Bend, curve, fade,
work
spite.
Out for the guy. That's the best part.
The thing's 30 yards left.
Yeah. Fade.
Come on, cut in there. Yeah, right.
It really is shocking, though, to see pros do that. I don't know if you guys are watching the President's Cup today, but Justin Thomas bombed his drive into the creek on one.
On number one, I don't know what if that's a really narrow fairway, but guys were airmailing it into that tree on the left.
Yeah.
It, like right over the pond. It was like one after another. It was like, wow, it must be a pretty tight spot.
No kidding. And after like the big ovation, it's in the States, and they had a celebrity being the MC, and he's like the number one player on tour this year. He's won more tournaments, but Justin Thomas gets up there and just right in the creek.
Dude, if you ever want to see a person that's not really like just an average 15 handicap, you want to see him be nervous, put 2,000 people on a tee and TV cameras, and you'll see a grown man shart in his pants.
Oh, how about when you play in like your club championship? There's nobody on the tee.
I get nervous playing competitive golf.
My palms are sweaty. I'm like, I can't even get the ball, and I'm worried I'm not going to get it in the air.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So why did that not apply to you guys in the NHL?
But that's,
did it?
That's, I was just going to bring this up. That's the difference between people who are termed clutch or not. because clutch people always have the ability to just relax.
I think maybe part of it is that I knew that I wasn't out there by myself, number one. Number two, I knew I was actually pretty good at it. And golf, I'm always wondering whether I'm any good at it. You know, you stand on the tee, you're like, man, if I shoot 84 today, all my buddies are going to be like, what the hell happened to you? Like, what did you do out there? And you're like, well, I just wasn't very good. So
my brother can't hit a golf ball in front of one person. One stranger, and he is rattled.
I've been nervous enough in a club championship that to tee up on the first hole, the ball falls off the tee, and I got to get it back on there. And I'm like, holy smokes, I'm just putting the ball in the ground. I can't even get it on the tee. It's ridiculous.
It really is amazing. Like, I don't, watching golf tournaments, I get nervous when a guy puts one into the woods and then all the fans are out there, but they just give him like a 10-meter path to get through.
I know, like he's just going to wire one off somebody's skull.
That has to happen at some point, doesn't it? Where a guy just...
The Tiger Woods commercial where the guy just starts peeling off people's heads on those cardboard cutouts.
Right. Like some guy skulls one or he just, he you know, it's a bad lie and they didn't
give
him enough
room. I'll show you one in the commercial break. Old Tommy Kite. He just worm burns one at a U.S. Open and just crushes a guy's kneecap. You know, I'll try to get the audio to the announcer's like, I can't believe I just saw a pro do that.
That's what we should have is top five reactions.
Yes.
Sam Rosen.
Yeah.
The guy, the judge. Where
Plesarchik.
The,
yes, the Shapovalov.
Shapovalov.
Judge. When
judge
crushed the guy in the face.
That's what we're going to have. Top five reactions from people either calling it or judges.
Right. We're coming up with ideas on the fly here for a show that we're very well prepared to handle this afternoon, Ray, because we had ourselves a good night last night. We were up in Barrie, and Craig Button big timed us before the game.
You should have seen it, Ray. It was horrible.
He wanted nothing to do with you guys?
He big timed us.
He pretended, honestly, I walked in. I was the first guy walking in. You know where the scouts are always are?
In the one corner.
Yeah, but this is in like the green room, in the media room. So he's kind of sitting, and we're over his left shoulder. And I yell, Craig Button, and we walk in. He doesn't even get up or anything. He just kind of glances over his left shoulder and pretends he doesn't see us. And now it's awkward, but we just press forward and bully our way into the room. He doesn't introduce us to anybody or anything. And then we just walk out. Big gulps, eh? It was just really
awkward. What do you think made him disturbed there? That Hayes had just signed a contract? Or
I think it was we basically walked in on his world, and I don't think he wants the two worlds to cross over.
You mean the one where he's a real professional and the one where he hangs around all us guys?
Exactly, but O termed it. I can't even remember how O termed it. He said it's like catching your uncle coming out of a rub and tug.
I never have done that, but I assume that would be awkward.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that's
that
basically
would be awkward.
What it was like.
I just saw this Tom Kite shot. You wouldn't believe it.
He hit him 4 feet off. Look at how rattled he is. Tommy Kite.
Tom Kite, apparently.
He's just devastated.
Well, if you Google it, it comes up as Tom Kite, worst shot
ever. Worst golf shot ever.
Balls, you got to get the audio after he hits the shot.
You got
to
find that.
Such a joke.
That is hysterical.
Poor Freddie Couples has got to go up after him and hit after that nonsense.
Anyway, we'll get the audio. We'll play it later on. The Leafs are back in action tonight in Detroit. And the biggest story in Toronto has been Mike Babcock and him just picking off different players in lines to call out. And we referenced a tweet. There was a fan that tweeted us earlier this afternoon saying he thinks this is the beginning of the end of Babcock because now he's going to put too much pressure on these guys and be all over them. And obviously, that's not the case. I mean, this is why they brought in Babcock. The first 2 years is why they paid all that money so that he could get through it. And this is why he's here to execute, because he believes they're actually a good team and they've got talent. I mean, I think it'll be a fascinating development over the year, just witnessing how Babcock handles this team and handles the success, because he believes they're good enough.
Well, I don't think I don't think Mike Babcock does anything spontaneous ever, like in anything that he does. He just strikes me, and and I played against him, 100 years ago, and and through his coaching career, everything is thought out and planned. And he's, as you said, he's picking off guy to guy to guy, line to line. He's making sure nobody's comfortable, that everybody isn't reading their own clippings or all this praise of their team and getting a little fat. Like, that's just, he's going to do his best not to let that happen. And that, when I read the stuff now, I'm like, oh man, like, if you're one of the guys and he's, you're an established player, Kadri's line, for example, and and he's kicking them in the shins here in preseason, I don't know one way or another. Like, that wouldn't motivate me.
Well, doesn't he got to watch himself? Like, I know he's a great coach and he's got the track record, but don't players see through it if you're just making up things to bitch about? It's just like, I understand it's difficult. There's a good feeling about the team. They're very skilled. He doesn't want them to get complacent, but I could see through a coach if he's just making up stuff to get mad about. It's like, sometimes you can just leave the guys alone.
Well, I understand the balance here. I'm agreeing with you. I understand the balance of, so he's got to make sure or do his best to, that the team is sharp, but nobody's really taking you seriously right now. They just want to get past this last weekend, so you got your... Remember how the whole mood of everything changes when you're just down to your 23 guys? Like, you're just down to the roster. There's 4 days before the season. Everybody gets locked right in. Right now, guys are aware they've got to, put the pedal down a little bit. But, it seems in a lot of cases, as I got older, it just seemed like noise to me.
Well, in terms of where this team is going to go, they've got an interesting decision to make here because they've got some veterans
right. In
Dominic Moore, in Eric Fair. I guess Altonen isn't a veteran, but he's also not 18 or 19 or 20.
Right.
But they've got some older guys who are kind of depth players who they would have to waive or try to get through waivers to be sent to the minors. And then they've got kids who I think have been looking pretty good, like Kapanen and Grundstrom in particular. Those two kids have been pretty good, and they're right. 19, 20 years old. When the injuries happen, what do you think is more likely to happen? They lean towards the kids to step in for those injuries, or do you think they'll try to keep these vets around and have the vets step in?
If Grundstrom, for example, or Travis Dermott, if they're playing really well, although Grundstrom's going to go back to Europe, right? Is he not headed back, or is he going to stay here?
I haven't heard the decision on that.
For him to stay with the Marlies.
Yeah, I think that's
if he's in North America,
yeah.
And those kids are playing well, somebody gets hurt, they're going to be called up, in my opinion. If they're not playing well, they're not, or they're just okay, they don't have to rush a call up or anything like that. That's why you have veteran guys around. The lot in life of older guys now is going to be depth players. You used to be trusted and relied upon, and now the league over the last couple of years is just, completely spun on its head, and they want young players. But I can't imagine that they're going to call up a young guy just to fill in an injury if he's not playing particularly well. If Grundstrom is one of their best players, Babcock likes him. It's a winger. It's probably going to be him. Before an older guy. Now, the guy that stood out for me a little bit here in camp is, when I watch him, I haven't seen him a lot, is Andreas Janssen. I'm like, that kid's good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's another guy. They're all the same size. They're all skilled. Like, I don't know what their internal pecking order would be, but in a lot of cases, they just, they call Sheldon Keefe and say, who's the best player right now? And we need a player that does this. Who's our best option? And he'll tell them.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, Leafs in Detroit tonight. We're talking about the Wings prior to having you on, and they've got the new building. And obviously, there's excitement about the building, but there is no excitement about that team. They seem to be unanimously accepted as a team that'll miss the playoffs. And if and when that happens, how quickly do you think they can turn this around? I mean, what's your read on where the Red Wings are going?
Well, how quick it can be is going to rely almost entirely on what their scouts have done over the last couple of years, because how quickly can you get some of their young people in and be effective? Now, you know, Larkin is a good player. Mantha is a good player. Afanasiu, if they get him signed, and I assume at some point he will, he's a good player. The problem they have is their defense there's no game breakers there. They've got to get younger and more skilled, but the guys they have, Svechnikov is another one, they're good players, not great players. They've drafted low, and eventually you pay the price, I guess. You're not going to hit home runs at number 20 or number 25, or, you know, you got to get up into that top 10 in the draft. They drafted, what is it, ninth this year, and they got Rasmussen, who's had a very good camp, but he's going back to Tri-Cities. Turning it around, it's a couple of years before those kids start to make an impact. And so you try and fill and sign short-term veteran deals and hope those kids develop in a rather quick manner.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for them. They had such an incredible run, and they won their four Stanley Cups, I believe it was, and went to a bunch of cup finals. But they had staples of that organization forever. Lidstrom played his whole career there. Stevie Y. Obviously, Fedorov and Shanahan was there forever, and
Datsyuk.
They've had a great run, and you know they're going to turn it around.
But you know, it was one of the biggest jokes was people saying, "Well, why?" You know, as they look back at the streak and saying, "Well, why didn't they tank? Well, why didn't they look forward?" Well, how are you going to look forward and/or tank while you have Lidstrom and Cronwall and Datsyuk and Zetterberg in your lineup? Are you supposed to tell them not to try? Like, they weren't going to trade them. They were still too good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they were, if you're going to go into the basement, you need to have no players like that. So they were just a little bit too good to really bottom out.
Does that have a, I know it's not a direct correlation, but you look at the Sedins in Vancouver. Like, I still think they're great players. Yeah, they're on the decline, and yes, I think they just turned 36 or 7 the other day.
Right.
But, you know, when you have players like that, I don't think they would completely bottom out, but I know what Vancouver's trying to do right now.
But they've bottomed out anyway, even with them there.
See, they're in my opinion, where they are now is where they should have been 3 years ago.
Right.
But ownership felt that they could compete. And when Jim Benning came in, they signed Radim Verbata and Ryan Miller that first year. They had 100 points, and they were delusional in their thinking that they were actually a contender. Right. And then the last 2 years, they've just been kicked all over the lot. So now they're gonna try and get some young people into their lineup. Jake Virtanen's had a great camp, terrific camp. They have Horvat, Brock Besser looks like a really good young player.
Yep.
They've got some younger guys coming. They've started to rebuild that organization, but it takes time for those young guys to make an impact. The mistake they made was 3 years ago thinking that they could be somewhat of a contender. And they went and signed a bunch of older guys, Louis Erickson last year. He's got 5 years left on his contract.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oof. That is disgusting.
That is something
like 5
else.
Years at $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Just an
well, you knew that was
going to
be that was an awful signing when they made it.
He's not even going to be playing with the Sedins. Aren't they trying? Wasn't Sam Gagner there the other day?
Yeah, Gagner was. They moved him down. Today they've got Vanek there. Marcus Granlund was pretty successful with him last year.
Why do they keep thinking that they have to have the Sedins to have all the success? Like, just put them on the. Let them be third-line guys and worry about Bo Horvat being the number one guy.
Well, this
I don't
is the
know.
First year, I think, they signed Horvat to this deal, and that's the expectation, is that, you know, they can reduce the leaning on of the
yeah.
Sedins.
Like a power play, you send out Bo Horvat first and some other guys.
But see, they don't do that. They haven't done that, and I'll be real curious
to
see.
Well, they're nuts. They're flat-out nuts what they're doing out there.
I have great respect for them. I know them. They're really, I know Henrik better. They're amazing people. But I really don't know why they haven't ever looked at you know, in the last year or two, split them up, play them on two different lines. There's no rule they have to play together.
It's such an awkward situation. They're fantastic guys, they're fantastic players, but it's like they've just put the organization in handcuffs, and they feel like it's always, oh, we got to give these guys somebody to play with. We've got to put a team together for the Sedins. They didn't win. They're not good enough to win now. So why is their getting points such a important element of the team? It's crazy.
Well, to take it one step further, you know, the thought of, you know, with Daniel and Henrik here, there are not two better guys that you could go to and say, look, this didn't work the way we thought it was going to. This would be a couple of years ago, and we're going to rebuild. And you guys can be here if you want or not, but we're not going to actively try and move you. But we'd like you to be part of this rebuild. Like, those guys, their effort is exemplary. They don't take nights off. They're not going to pout. They're not going to complain. And yet, they've never gotten around to it. Now, all of a sudden, they're like, well, hell, we don't have a choice. So now you got a first-year coach in Travis Green who's, you know, trying to change the way the team plays. You got two 37-year-old players in the last year of their contracts, and there doesn't seem to be a going-forward thought. Like, they're going to be important players for them, but why don't you play them 16 minutes? I bet you get more from them than trying to play them 19 minutes.
Yeah.
Play them less. You'll get more.
Yeah,
play Bo Horvat more. Now they've got Vanek, they've got Gagne, they've got the Sedins, so that's four. They've got Eriksson's five. I think they've got Edler's another. I want to say on their opening day roster, like their opening game roster, they got eight guys that are over 29. That's not rebuilding anything.
Ray, no. We got to fly, buddy, but get on YouTube and watch this Tom Kite golf shot, please.
I can't wait to hang up.
You got to wait till the very end when they show it in slow motion.
Ray, it was so funny. Like, just because of the buildup and Tom Kite, he looks like such an idiot with that hat.
Ray, you obviously knew that I was trying to hold the show together because these two guys, you and I were talking. I looked over and both of these guys are on the floor dying, and I'm trying to explain.
I want to hear, as soon as we hang up and go to commercial, I'm putting the audio up because I haven't heard what the audio
is. Yeah, it's so good.
I'm getting to this in 12 seconds.
All right, buddy, enjoy it.
Enjoy the weekend, guys. See ya.
Thanks, man. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are now on with 0% financing and lease rates on the Corolla and RAV4. Visit mapletoyota.ca. Marcellus Wiley will join us later this hour. We'll get into the Packers-Bears game last night, tee up the weekend. Week 4 in the NFL is off and running. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us. Jim Popp, GM of the Argos, they're in Hamilton this weekend. Get to our future headlines poll. The Jays lost today. There's a report out there that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be in hot pursuit of Josh Donaldson.
How does that get? Like, who starts that?
Obviously,
is that
someone
like borderline tampering, or I don't know what the hell that is.
No, it's probably someone reading the tea leaves that the guy's going to be a free agent after next season.
Well, think about it. If there was a pending, I mean, think of all the Tavares talk right now.
Yeah.
Doughty.
Drew Doughty pending. You know, like, it's just people talking, but it can be a realistic situation.
Absolutely. And the Cardinals spend money. They're a great baseball team, market, organization. And if they feel like maybe they can pry him away with a trade this winter, or maybe they sit there and say, you know what, we'll wait. And we think he's going to be a free agent.
Don't pick up his option. And
well, and the Jays, it's on them to work out this deal. I mean, it's that easy. It's on them to work out a deal this offseason. Find a way to lock him up. Now, I'm not saying throw 10 years at him. There has to be some give and take. But
what, is he 32? He's going to be 32?
He'll be 32, I believe, yes. So I'm saying 5-year deal.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Five.
But you're looking at $30 million a year. Like, they're going to have to give him $30 million a year.
What if he says, I want longer? Like, that's the thing. Like, Excuse me.
That's the problem.
Yeah, he's choking.
Big night last night.
What we think is reasonable, what if he's saying, no, I want this to be my last deal. I want 8 years at $30 million a year.
And he has the right to do that, right? Like, it's taken him a while to get there. He's an older guy. He got to the league later. He's had arbitration rights, but him being a true free agent, not until next year for the first time in his career, where he can go wherever he wants.
I agree. They're not getting off the hook on this one.
No. Listen, let's say he accepts a 5-year deal, they might have to pay him more per year. They will have to pay him more per year. Like, he may sit there and say, listen, I'll take $25 million a year, but on an 8-year deal.
Right.
But if you want it to be a 5-year deal, it's got to be $32 million or $33 million, whatever.
Which they would have to seriously entertain.
I think it's what has to happen. That's the going rate. He's a top 5 player in the league.
Agreed.
That's what he is. Look at his stats. Look at his numbers since he's been in Toronto, even his last few years in Oakland. The guy is money.
I agree.
So don't put yourself in another Edwin Encarnacion situation. And no wonder teams are starting to circle the wagons. They're like, what's going on here? The bringer of rain could be available? Of course the Cardinals are interested. I could name probably 7 or 8 teams that would be. Every team in the league would love him, but you don't think the Giants want to turn things around? They had an abysmal season. They throw money around like it's candy.
Yeah.
So get ready for this. If he goes into next season without a long-term deal, we're going to get reports like this every week.
There's only one factor that's the most important in this decision. Does he want to be here?
Yeah.
Because if he wants to be here, they'll get something done.
Absolutely. I hope you're right. I hope he does. I want to see him stick around. But
because we were kind of serious last year when we were like, pay Encarnacion. We're serious this time. Pay this man.
Pay the bringer of rain. We don't want any droughts in Toronto. I think we've got ourselves a top 5.
Yeah?
5-pack Friday.
We're going to tell you after this break.
Because we've got a guy who's going to join us who could be on one of our lists. Marcellus Wiley, talking NFL next. All right, shout out to everyone that's been texting in, tweeting in, emailing in with top 5 ideas for the Friday 5-pack that we'll get to in the 6 p.m. hour. But I don't believe this lady or gentleman put their name on this text, but I think the big winner for today...
Yes?
Top 5 bald guys.
Ooh, I love it.
It's so stupid, but I love it.
I think it's going to work.
You just went from, like, you were trying to big wheel us. You're like, it's got to be something. We got to get creative, and it can be all sports. And then you come up with top 5 bald guys.
We're mailing this one in.
But we do talk about people's hair a lot. Whatsoever. Like, we didn't even mention, like, we've had some haircuts.
I said lately. I was going to get it back on track.
Tyler's haircut.
Yeah.
Tyler Hunt. He got a haircut, all right.
He got his haircut
exactly like every other guy his age in Toronto.
A millennial cut?
It's a millennial cut.
He got the line. He looks good. But he should have got it done at 7 o'clock so we couldn't make fun of him.
He's feeling it, man. He's got a big weekend on tap.
Yeah, he's on fire.
Week 4 in the NFL. Got kicked off last night. In style, Packers with a big win. We're talking about a bad hit, though. And here's a guy who might be in my top 5 list. Might be in there. Here is longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley. What's happening, Marcellus?
Oh, doing great, guys. And I would love to make that list. Kojak, obviously, up there. We have to throw, Marvin Hagler, ball heads of all time. Some good ones out there.
There's some good options, aren't there?
Yeah, there is.
Has anyone ever approached you and said, you are on my top 5 list in terms of bald guys?
No, I mean, you know, short list of accolades in my life, and that's never made it. I've never had that compliment. Maybe my wife said it without actually stating it because she's still with me, so maybe I'm on her list.
That's right. Good man. Obviously, last night, we're all talking about that hit.
Well, the hit was, and we both have different views on it. Brian thinks it's just a fast game and it's a part of the game. You just can't really adjust yourself, and I thought it was a predatorial hit where he was headhunting and mission accomplished. How did you view the hit, and what do you think happens from here?
Yeah, I think the flag in today's NFL has to be thrown for that play, but I don't think it was a dirty hit. Look, we've reduced the target area to a place where it's very difficult, but still doable for these guys to make those same hits. But when you see this play in slow-mo, you can see an offensive lineman actually pushing the receiver as Trevathan is coming in, and the receiver's being stood up. Now, that's a 50-50 moment. The receiver can escape that and actually continue to run, or you can stand him up and make the tackle. Typically, in those moments, we're taught to now go after the football, now send a message. When you got a guy stood up, it's time to now go after the ball or to make that statement. What happened in that moment was, with his helmet out, the only target area he saw was helmet, and he lowered his head, he lowered his body. Unfortunately, he took a glimpse at the ground at that speed, that velocity, and that angle. We saw a violent collision. I think what really occurred, why so much backlash, is because of the result. And I don't think that the process was with any malintention. It wasn't egregious in that moment. It's just the result is what everyone's reacted to. So I'm with Brian. I thought it was a flag on the play, but no further punishment should be necessary.
Yeah, I'm with you. And listening to Trevathan try to explain it afterwards, you could tell, you know, he felt bad about the outcome. How could you not? I mean, it was really difficult to see Devontae Adams laying there out cold. You know, he went to the hospital. It was really difficult to witness and watch. And yet, again, as I phrased it, tough to watch, even more tough to eliminate from the game. It's physical. It's fast-paced. Adams spun. He tried to avoid getting tackled. And I don't know what a suspension does to eradicate that kind of play next week. I mean, if they suspend him, Marcellus, does that mean every defensive player in the league is like, okay, now I'm never going to be in that position again? What would a suspension do, really, in terms of sending a message?
Exactly. I said this earlier on some of the shows I had to respond to this on. It has to be a teaching moment when you're talking about suspension. He wasn't ejected from the game, so now you want to take it to the next step and suspend the guy. Now you have to have a teaching moment of process. What do players learn if you suspend this player because of that hit? I'm sitting there, put myself back in the locker room. I don't learn anything from it. I'm saying, so now if a guy is fighting for position, a guy is fighting to get extra yardage, I'm supposed to do what? Now, obviously, I know I can go in there with a pillow tackle and just give him my chest. I may get ran over if I tackle him improperly. So there's no teaching moment through this discipline or further punishment. It's just one of those things, like you said, tough to see, tough to watch, but that happens in the game of football. It's a violent sport. As soon as you cross the white lines, violence will ensue. As soon as you're in the middle of the field fighting for extra yards, that's the most violent part of the game, the most violent place in the game. Unfortunate set of circumstances, but I think we just got to move on.
With Marcellus Wiley, our NFL analyst.
Do you think a $12,154 fine will stop Odell Beckham Jr. for pissing like a dog in the end zone?
You know what? No, it won't. I think it's tasteful that this is the thing. I like Odell for owning the fact that he's mad that he had a penalty on that play. I like the fact that a guy doesn't want to hurt the team. But I also love the fact that he says, I'm not saying I'm sorry. And a lot of guys get caught up in this production of contrition. Like, we have to actually act like we're sorry. And a lot of times, we're just trying to sell tickets or keep the fans happy. But in reality, you don't have any remorse. He didn't have any remorse. He's like, I did something distasteful to you. I guess in his world, it's tasteful. To me, it was tasteless, but in his world, it wasn't. And that's a subjective call. But you can't hurt your team. So subjective or not, when you objectively hurt your team by actually costing them yardage, that's a problem. But $12,000 on the fine on a Wednesday FedEx from Roger Goodell, guys don't miss that. Guys don't take notice of that. I don't think that that punishment is a deterrent. But I think he got the message as well. He won't act up in that realm, in that way, anytime soon.
With Marcellus Wiley here on Overdrive, I had an interesting conversation last night. We were at a sporting event last night, and I was talking. My father-in-law was actually there. He's not the biggest football fan. He's not the biggest sports guy.
Right.
But we were up in the box, and we were getting ready to watch the Packers-Bears game. And he said, now the anthem for him has become must-see TV. And I never really thought about it that way. I mean, we've talked about this issue so many times over the past year and a half, starting with Kaepernick and everything that's happened. But now, I mean, with Trump and the tweets and all that, the anthem is like a part of the production almost. I mean, do you get that sense, Marcellus, that now, like, the ratings for the anthem are probably spiking?
Yeah, if you really wanted to take it into a micro moment, it is an anthem. Is now an extension of what used to be the opening kickoff. People used to always make sure you're in your seat. My father, I can hear him right now. Make sure we're sitting there ready, popcorn and having our brew, because it's kickoff time. Now it's actually, you got to extend that and go further and go earlier and say it's national anthem time. To this point, yesterday in studios when the Thursday night game started, and since we're doing our radio show at that time, we didn't have the television on at the beginning of the game, and immediately the response in the studio was, oh, we missed the anthem. What did they do? And everyone's checking Twitter to see if Aaron Rodgers really went through with it. Everyone locked arms. All the fans locked arms. You're right. This is twisted and turned into a way where the production of football has actually extended, which is obviously going to benefit the NFL because the ratings will be higher. It's an unfortunate set of events how we got here. But it's the reality. We are here.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild, and we'll see what happens the rest of the weekend. Always appreciate you doing this, and we'll do it again this time next week.
Let's do it, brothers. Take care up there.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, former Bill, longtime NFLer, doing radio in L.A.
He agreed with
ESPN.
You. Well, that was shocking to me.
I'm not surprised. He's a defensive player. Well, these guys feel like they're always being targeted. They're out there trying to make plays.
He's lived it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I thought of is when I came back to the timing of a hit, where at the last second, if the guy head moves or turns or something happens, where you're in that, like, oh, you know what moment, where you're already committed to it, and it's unfortunate. He did use the term unfortunate set of circumstances. I don't know if you guys picked up on that.
That went right over my head.
I looked at Mullen. He wasn't there, but
we'll have to get that. Maybe a compare and contrast between Lou,
he did use,
who might be on my list.
Oh,
Lou Lamorello.
That's a
and Marcellus
spicy
Wiley. All right, we'll get to future headlines, our poll that we've got up. What would be the most shocking sports headline on Monday?
Oof.
We'll get to Jim Pop, the GM of the Argos, and we'll get to our Friday five-pack. Top five bald guys. There's a lot of options out there.
There is. Do you see this quickly? Judge referees dispute over Edmonton Oilers season tickets. A couple's getting divorced, and they're fighting for the season ticket.
All right, we'll talk about that,
Jesus,
too. That's a spicy one. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.